Amen. Now I'd like to invite Lois Steele to come forward to share with us our Christmas story from the book of Luke.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard, and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Lois. Will you pray with me? Almighty and everlasting God, what a story. Tonight, help us to make it our story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is it. This is the night for which we've been waiting. This is the night for which we've prepared. This is the night that we've talked about and planned for, in which we've tried our best to be aware. This, tonight, is the night. This is the night that the world becomes something different. Many of us will sadly forget to remember that. Most of us will get wrapped up in festivities later on and try to make them the best that they can possibly be, and sometimes, in the midst of that, we forget the story. And all of us, I mean all of us, will wonder at some point, what did it all mean? In just a little while, the door to the divine will swing wide open and God and all of heaven will burst into the world. If you stop and listen just for a minute, you'll hear the angel chorus coming closer. Maybe it happened before. Maybe it happened just last year. Maybe you can feel it tonight. Doors opening, light flooding in, the earth filled with a new vision of peace. Maybe, just maybe, tonight, this year, it'll be different. Maybe there'll be more of us. Maybe it'll be you, maybe it'll be me. Maybe there'll be more of us who open our eyes a little wider, our hearts a little larger, so much so that we actually realize what it's all about this time, that we'll actually remember the story tonight. Maybe it's time we did a little pondering. You know, that's what they say Mary did, right? She pondered these things in her heart, took them into herself. She made it all a part of her, Why can't we do that? Why do we struggle to do that? Why can't we make this story our own? How do we do that? I mean, we know the story. We know it pretty well. Maybe too well. Maybe so well that we forget to let it come alive and be a part of us. So tonight, let's try something new. We're gonna pretend that we've never heard this story before. Okay, just go with me here. Okay, we're gonna pretend we've never heard the Christmas story. All right, let's try it again. The journey took many days. They were tired and thought about turning back many times, but they had to keep moving along. The time was almost here. The desert wilderness was cold and unforgiving. The winds whipped around the mountains this time of year and just made things worse. The pathway was treacherous. It was dangerous. But finally, they were here. Mary and Joseph have arrived in Bethlehem. The crowds are almost too much to take, the pushing and the crushing of the couple as they try to make their way through. Mary doesn't feel too well. She really just wants to lie down and rest. And when you don't feel well, really kind of the worst thing is to be away from home, right? You know, to be someplace foreign, to be someplace that's so crowded, so unwelcoming, need to hurry because the time is coming. So they stop at this small house that's up on a hill that's overlooking the shepherd's field down below. And Joseph leaves Mary for a moment to try to go make arrangements for the night. But when he returns, his face is all frustrated. He's almost in tears. He tells Mary, "I'm sorry, the inn is full. In fact, the whole town is full. There's no room anywhere." And then he tells Mary, "Well, this innkeeper has given us permission to at least go lay down in the stable back behind the house. He's freshening up the hay now. I'm sorry, I guess it'll have to do." You know, I think the innkeeper gets a bad rap in this story. I mean, this is just my opinion. I mean, you know, what's he supposed to do? Kick somebody else out to make room for Mary and Joseph, right? I mean, consider this. This is not the Hilton, right? I mean, it probably wouldn't even qualify as a roadside motel. It was probably just a couple of small beds in the innkeeper's home that he rented out from time to time to try to make ends meet. You know, and let's think about what first century living quarters were like anyway. You know, there was really only like one or two rooms where people gathered in the first place. The second or third room would be attached to the house, and it was used as the stable where the animals would come and go. Nobody in this small town would have had a large estate or an apartment over their garage or anything. I mean, that's just not the way it was back then. You know, he's really kind of inviting them into his home by just having them come stay in the stable. So Mary and Joseph, they enter the stable, and they're surrounded by animals, and they're going to try to get some rest. It's been such a long day. They can still hear the crowded city streets, but at least it's warm. The innkeeper had been very nice. They could still hear the Roman guards, though, yelling as they tried to control the crowds that had come to town. Made the place feel even more foreign, even more foreboding. But directly overhead was like the brightest star they'd ever seen in their life. It was amazing. It was as if the tiny little stable was just being bathed in light. So Mary, she laid down and she tried to close her eyes, but it's going to be a tough night. It's going to be an exciting night. She knew the baby was coming really, really soon. And on this night of nights, into a cold, dirty stable in a small town filled with yelling and pushing crowds, into a place that was occupied by soldiers, into a place that did not feel anything like home, into a world that had no room, in through the back door of somebody else's house, God comes. The door to the divine swings open. And God and all of heaven burst into our little world, flooding it with light and life. And yet the child in the manger, bathed in light, the very incarnation of the divine, Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, is now here. God takes the form of a human, like you or me, to show us what it means to be human, to be one of us, to be part of our story. We love that story. I love that story. It's our story, right? But it's not just our story. It's also God's story. It's the story of God coming into the world, and we are invited to not only read it, but to enter its pages and make it come alive for us. When I was growing up, we always had a nativity scene on the table in our front room as you came into the house. Not unlike this, only it didn't have 100 pieces to it like this one does. I love that nativity scene. And my sister and I, we would play with it, you know. I'm not sure that you're supposed to play with the nativity set, but we would. And I knew the story so well as a kid that I'd kind of rewrite the story from time to time. You know, like I'd put the camel on top of the stable, you know. Or I'd have necklaces to put around the wise men, you know, when I was a little kid. Or I'd have Barbie or G.I. Joe or Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, overseeing the sheep. And I might have some Weeble Wobbles hanging out with the angels, you know, that kind of thing. One time we lost baby Jesus for a few days, which that wasn't so cool. It's never good to be a family that loses Jesus, you know. But we finally found him. He'd been in my sister's bed. She'd been sleeping with him, which I think, you know, is comforting and maybe a sermon for another day. But the truth is, we knew the story so well that changing the details just really didn't make that much difference. Or maybe they do. For I've got another story that I borrowed from a pastor friend of mine who swears this is true. He tells this story of something that happened in this little Methodist church in his first appointment at his first Christmas. Seems they were having a children's Christmas pageant that year, you know, the one where the kids dress up as Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds. And it's a great way for children to learn the story. I love it. You know, they not only learn the story, but they get to live the story, right? So here they were, these 7-year-old versions of Mary and Joseph, making their way through the crowded streets looking for shelter. And they come to the innkeeper's house and they knock on the door. And the innkeeper opens the door and the little boy playing Joseph, man, he's great, with perfect memorization. He asks the innkeeper if there's room for them in the inn. Well, you know how it goes. And now the innkeeper, he was a little on the young side, and I guess they thought they could give him, you know, one line and he wouldn't mess that up. So when it came time for him to give his one line with all the gusto he could muster, his answer was, "Sure, come on in." Well, poor Joseph didn't know what to do, right? And he knows this isn't the way the story's supposed to go. And in fact, this is going to change the rest of the pageant, if not the entire Christmas story. He knows he's got to get to the manger somehow, right? So this quick-thinking second grader said back to the innkeeper, "This place is horrible. I wouldn't stay here if you paid me to. We're just going to go out to the stable and just stay the night there." Maybe the details do matter, you know. But when it's all said and done, this story is our story, to do with it what we will. We can clean it up and we can make it a pretty little Christmas story and then put it back in the box with all the other decorations and put them back in the attic. We can pick it apart and analyze it until we're not even sure what we believe. Or we can just enter it and let the story become a part of our lives. It's a story like no other. God comes. God comes to us. It's incredible. That's the story. And what a story, right? I mean, it's got it all. Heartache and darkness and intrigue and danger, animals, innocence, an oppressive government, and a baby to boot. No wonder it's a bestseller, right? It's got all the intricacies of a great tale. No wonder there's so many songs written about it, so many paintings depicting it. But for all the romantic notions of a baby born into a cold desert night in a small town on the other side of the world, the story is not just about a birth. It's not even just about Jesus. It's a story of God. And sometimes we Christians, we seem to think that Jesus just sort of dropped out of the clouds into the manger and replaced the story that had already been written. But you see, the story didn't begin on that night. It began long, long before this. It began way back in the beginning. It began when God breathed a part of God's life into being and created this little world. And as the story unfolded, as God's creation grew and lived, God remained with them. This mysterious, often unknown presence that yearned to be in relationship with the very creation, with all that God had breathed into. And once in a while, we read about God's children stopping and actually recognizing these little incarnations along the way. You know, there'll be a burning bush or a parting of the sea, you know, some amazing cloud on top of a mountain. Once in a while, every now and again, we read about how the people would stop and they'd take off their shoes and they'd realize that they're walking on holy ground. But more often than not, they would struggle in the darkness. And they'd struggle with war and oppression and injustice because they didn't see the light that was right there with them. God called them and God sent them, and some became prophets and some were wise and some were yearning to just be with God. And some wrote hymns about it and some wrote poetry about it and some just bowed their heads and hoped that God would notice. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for the people, and it wasn't enough for God. God yearned to be with what God had created. God desperately wanted humanity to be what they were made to be, to come home. And so God came once again, God incarnate, into this little world. But this time, God came into the creation itself, came as what God had created. And so God was born as a human on a cold, dark night. And yet, the earth was almost too full. There was very little room for God. But on that night, in a dark grotto on the outskirts of holiness, God arrived. The divine somehow made room in a quiet little corner of the world. God came to show creation what had been there all along. And yet there was newness, and there was light, and there was meaning. And it was very, very good. So why do we tell this story tonight? Well, the truth is that the Bible is not just about people trying to get to know God. It's a story of God. And this part of it, this chapter that we relive every December 24th, this holy night, is not the climax of the story. Rather, it's a new chapter. It's a new beginning. This night, this incarnation, is God unveiling God's self to us. It's God coming out of the darkness, out of the shadows, and showing us what we could not be before. God came to show us how to be like God in the world. So in this season, we again hear the story, and we hear the story of God. But here's the thing, unless we realize it's our story, it really won't make any difference. It just won't be enough. So we've got to recognize that God came in the flesh to tell the story that goes back to the beginning. That in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness will not overcome it. Just now, the light's beginning to dawn. It's not a new light, but a light that was created way back in the beginning. But this time, let us finally see the story as it is. Because it's the story of God. The story of God who loved us so much that the heavens would open up and spill onto the earth so that we would know this story. And that we would have a part in writing it, in moving the characters around so that the story becomes what God had always envisioned. Tonight is not the beginning of the story. Rather, it is the chapter in which you and I come to be. The very dawn of redeeming grace spilling into an earth full of people waiting. Tonight, a baby is born. And we continue the story. What are you going to do with your chapter? Where will it go from here? What story will you tell of how God came to you? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Holy God, you invited us into your story, and you came into our story. In Jesus, we are connected again, and it all becomes one story. Holy God, help us to take Jesus into our hearts and recognize that this is all our story and that it's been our story all along. Help us as we write the next chapter. Help us to know that we are never alone, for you have come to us. Amen. Our service will continue tonight with Holy Communion. I invite you to turn with me in your hymnal to page 13. We're going to begin with a great Thanksgiving, and I'm going to be sharing the liturgy for Christmas Eve. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. In the fullness of time, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And at his birth, the angels sang glory to you in the highest and peace to your people on earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable, Jesus was born. So by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. As your word became flesh, born of woman on that night long ago, so on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to ask those who are going to assist if they'll come forward now and remind you that the bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup of salvation for which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Here at Wrightsville United Methodist Church, we practice an open table, which means that you don't have to be a member in order to partake in this holy meal. In fact, you don't have to be a member anywhere. You're invited to partake if you want to accept Jesus in your heart. You want to experience what it means to be Christian. So when you come forward, we will peel off a piece of the bread and hand it to you, and then you'll dip it gently into the cup and consume the elements. You can pray here at the altar rail, or you can return to your seat for a time of prayer. While you're waiting to come forward, Julia is going to be playing some of our favorite Christmas hymns, and so we invite you to sing as you wait for your time. And as always, there is a gluten-free station over there with Miss Lois. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.